It's always interesting. Some decide they're going to go and some decide they're not, and then they're going to come back. And I was teasing my wife earlier this week that I was going to get up this morning and say, I don't have anything, but I'm sure she has a word from the Lord, so I'm going to sit down. She said that wasn't going to happen. You know, an evangelist can come into a church, preaches four or five, six evangelistic sermons, go on to the next church and keep getting it. Doesn't have to preach but the same four or five sermons in every church. A full-time Bible teacher can do the same thing. You know, if he's got a theme, you know, the Holy Spirit or the second coming, he can go from church to church to church and preach the same thing over and over and over again. Now, a pastor is different. He has to preach the whole counsel of God. Sooner or later, he needs to cover most everything in the Scriptures. If not, the church becomes undeveloped in one area, more developed in another area. When I was looking at my notes this morning, it hit me. Back when I was in Boy Scouts, we went to camp one summer, and there had a swimming. Well, there's one boy in our scout troop that could not swim a straight line. His right arm was so much stronger than his left arm that he kept pulling him to the right, and he'd start off at this end of the pool, and by the time he got to McCord, he was against that wall. He couldn't swim from here to the back door. And you know, if you'd have been in a lake, he'd have just swum in circles. Because he was really developed, but not so developed here. And so, this morning I feel led that we need to talk about the holiness of God and our response to that holiness. The holiness of God and our response to that holiness. Now, if I step on your toes, I'm sorry. Just blame the Lord. Do we realize how big and great and awesome God is? How holy He is? I have this friend, and I cringe when she talks about, well, the big guy, and I have an understanding. Me and the big guy get along all right. Like, you know, he's the CEO or something. And then, you know, you've heard the expression, well, the man upstairs, like God lives in the second floor apartment over our heads. And if we, especially when we say those with a lack of respect, a lack of honor. And then about 2 weeks ago, I shared with you a conversation I had at McDonald's where this guy talked a fantastic spiritual life, but he laced his conversation with profanity, taking the Lord's name in vain. And I'm thinking, which are you? Are you really a man of God, or are you not a man of God? How do we react to the holiness of God? Now, there are so many scriptures that we could look at, but I'm going to, for the sake of time, just limit it to a few. Turn with me first to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Book of Exodus, chapter 3. And none of these will be unfamiliar to you, except maybe the last one. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and the flock on the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off the shoes off from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And let's skip down to verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses has an encounter with God in the desert. He sees a bush that's burning, and he looks at it, and it's burning, and you'd think, well, that bush should be all ashes by now. Instead, it's burning, and it's burning, and it doesn't look anything different. He said, I got to go see this, see what the situation is. And as soon as he gets into the presence, and it says God saw that he had Moses' attention, he said, Moses, take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. And Moses, the scripture says, was afraid to look on the face of God. Moses recognized how holy and righteous God was, and in that moment, Moses was scared out of his wits. Now turn with me over to the book of Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he heard the seraphim, the angels, crying out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And Isaiah suddenly realized how sinful he was. He said, You know, I'm a man of unclean lips. Now Isaiah was a prophet. And yet in the presence of holy God, he recognized the difference between God and me is an awesome difference. He said, I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He said, you know, I'm bad and the folks around me are bad. We're not worthy to stand in your presence. Isaiah seeing the holiness of God. Now, notice also, though, how merciful, how loving God is. To Moses, he says, take off your shoes. The shoes represented the accumulated dirt and dust and filth of the world around him. And with his shoes off, he was worthy to stand in the presence of God. Isaiah had this seraphim, the angel, take the coal off the altar and touch his lips. And he was told, Now you are clean, your iniquity is forgiven. God dealt with their sinfulness out of his love. You know, God dealt with it. God made it possible for sinful man to stand in his presence. They just acknowledged, hey, you're God and we're not. we've got a problem. God says, I'm going to show you how to take care of it. Turn with me now to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. And did you notice as you're turning there to 1 Peter, that not only did God, once God took care of everything, he gave them a ministry assignment. Once they were cleansed, God had something for them to do. Moses, you go down to Egypt and lead my people to freedom. Isaiah, you go prophesy to the people. A recognition of the holiness of God, the cleansing, the ministry assignment. Now, in 1 Peter. We just need to recognize how great God is, how awesome he is in comparison to us. We need to recognize that we could not stand in his presence on our own. If Jesus walked down the aisle of the church in the flesh, hey, big guy, you got a word for us today? No way am I saying that. I'll probably be on my face in the aisle babbling like a baby. But welcome, Lord. We need to recognize the difference. But now look in 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll start at verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. God made us worthy through the precious blood of Jesus. God made us worthy to stand in presence of holy God through the precious blood of Jesus. And without that, we're not worthy. But notice that he says, you be holy like I'm holy. He said, verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning or living yourself in the way of your lust in your ignorance. He said, you know, before you were saved, you may have done a lot of sinful things, a lot of foolish things, a lot of stupid things, but you didn't know any better. Even when you became a Christian, it's a growing process. And we're all at different stages along the road in our growing, or should be at different stages, growing toward holiness. And it's okay to say, well, I didn't know for a while. You know, if you get stopped by highway patrolman, you say, well, I didn't know the speed limit here was 45. And he says, you see that sign right there? That sign. There may be one thing we don't know. There may be some things we don't know. But we ought to be learning. And he says, you used to live this way, but don't live that way any longer, because you should no longer be ignorant about the things of God. Said, we're to be holy in all conversation. Notice that in verse 15. You be holy in all manner of conversation. In other words, your total life. In the total lifestyle, we need to be holy. Now, the Bible says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So God sees us as righteous and holy. But the Bible also says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, which means we work to demonstrate, not to get ourselves saved, but we make daily choices. And every one of us make daily choices about whether or not we're going to live a holy life or not. Now let's just be real honest with ourselves. Not to nitpick or anything, but just let the Holy Spirit, you know, the Bible says, search me, O God, and know my ways. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Just be honest with ourselves. How much do you really respect God? How much do we really honor God? Really? Does our conversation show our honor? Does our conversation show our honor? Well, you know, I appreciate a good manly joke now and then. Can you tell it to Jesus? Hey, come here, Jesus. I got a joke for you. Oh, preacher, I couldn't tell it to Jesus. Well, if you couldn't tell it to Jesus, why are you telling it to anybody else? Does our business practices honor God? Interesting, yesterday I had a conversation with a lady and she talked about when she and her husband were first married many, many years ago, and he was working for a person that did some repair work on automobiles, and the owner was supposed to be a great Christian. And this great Christian told John, said, now you tell that lady when she comes to pick up her car that we put this expensive part on it. Now we didn't. But you tell her it needed it, and we put it on there, and we'll charge her for it. And John says, you want her told that? You tell her yourself, I quit. Lost all respect for that man's Christianity. One of the most, quote, respected businessmen in Albemarle. I found out was doing something shady to practically every customer that walked through his business. I lost all respect for him. If we could say, Jesus, would you fill out this invoice and hand it to the customer? You say, well, you know, Jesus probably wouldn't fill out the invoice the way I want it filled out. Well, then why are we filling it out that way? What about the holiness of God? The Bible says there's a tithe holy to God. Well, Jesus, would you take this envelope and do this with it? Would Jesus be happy with what we've done with our money? Does it show we honor the tithe as holy unto the Lord? The Bible says there's a day that's holy unto the Lord. What about activities that we do? Come on, Jesus. Let's me and you go do so-and-so. Well, now Jesus is not going to do that on the Lord's day. Well, if Jesus isn't going to do it, why am I doing it? And sometimes we have to make some hard choices. If the Lord is holy, and the Bible says he is, then we need to be holy like unto him. We're challenged to be holy like unto him. Are there lifestyle choices that we make that are not pleasing to our Lord? Oh, good old God, understand. No, listen, he's holy. And if he's holy, then I need to make choices that reflect my honor to him. We ought to be glad that it still doesn't happen in our day like it did in Bible days. You remember? They were carrying the cart on the ark. The ark on the cart. Had it back. The ark on the cart, and the oxen stumbled, and it looked like the thing was going to fall off, and the guy reached out and touched it, and what happened? Gone like that. Oh, that was the Old Testament. You remember a guy named Ananias and his wife named Sapphira, and they came in and lied to the church in their testimony? What happened to them? Bang, bang. Two graves in one afternoon. I sure am glad that didn't happen today. But God is no less holy. And we need to respect him and honor him with what we say, how we live, where we go, everything about our lifestyle. And could it be that some of us are not getting more or better or bigger ministry opportunities because God cannot trust us? Because of unholy practices in our life. We need to be serious, folks. God's not just the big guy. God's not just the man upstairs. God is Jehovah, the great I am. The Bible says Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords, God of the very God, and in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We need to be aware of how holy he is. We need to be thankful that he welcomes us into his presence through the blood. And it's only through the blood that we can come into his presence. It's only through his love and his grace and his mercy that we can come into his presence. And I praise the Lord that we're welcome. Do you know those churches we read about a moment ago in Revelation where they just got lukewarm? Well, you know, it's not that big a deal. It's a big deal to God. It's a big deal to our Father in heaven. And we need not to take him lightly. Everywhere we go, we take the Holy Spirit with us. If we're saved, everything we say, everything we do, the Holy Spirit's with us. And it's a growing progressive thing. As I said earlier, the more we know, and there's some things that I tolerated in my life years ago, didn't know any better, didn't know how to get rid of them, that I don't tolerate now. Because I'm growing in some of those areas. And have I reached perfection? Don't ask my wife. No, No, I have not. But I hope I'm better than I was 50 years ago and 30 years ago. And if Jesus doesn't come in the next 20 years, I hope in 20 years from now I'll be better than I am today. Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Woe is me, I'm undone. I live in the midst of a holy, unholy people, and I'm unholy myself. We need to be aware. And not just get strong in one arm. We need to be aware of the holiness of God and get strong in that realm as well. Now, I don't know what the Holy Spirit said to you this morning, but I pray that maybe it's challenged you about something in your life, and you may be already far ahead of me. That's fine. We're each growing. But please, don't treat God as if he doesn't matter, as if he's just a bigger version of us. You think about how big this universe is. How wild and wonderful and all the creation. He's big enough to do all that. He's way too big and too holy for us to take lightly. If you need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you need to come to the altar and pray about something, you need to share something with me. Would you respond as the Spirit of God would lead you? Amen.